This is the Green Desk on 95BFM.
Yes, so as suggested before, well, not suggested, stated before, I took over loosely the Green Desk this week, speaking to Associate Professor Caroline Miller of Massey University. So she works as part of the people and kind of planning department at Massey University, looking at kind of like social interactions and pretty much everything to do with that. She's been in planning for around 24 years now, so a seasoned veteran, I think you can say, about the Turning the Tide report, which was a University of Otago report on active transport that says urgent steps must be taken to encourage New Zealanders to walk, cycle, or take public transport, as our use of cars is harming both our health and our environment. So I started by asking Professor Miller whether she could give us and the listeners a bit more kind of broader context about what this report means.
What the report is doing is it's not necessarily saying anything that we haven't already known for quite some time. It's been obvious that there are both environmental and health consequences of people essentially choosing to use private transport over public or active transport. But I do think that you do need to clearly distinguish between active transport, which is in essence walking, cycling, in other words, powering yourself along, and public transport, because I think the drivers in each of those areas are slightly different. Really what the report is saying is that there are both environmental and health consequences of us choosing private transport. In essence, we have increasing levels of obesity, we have type 2 diabetes, we're seeing that perhaps developing in younger people, and that has consequences for the individual in terms of their life expectation and the quality of their life, but also it has quite a lot of consequences in terms of health funding. There'll be a significant burden on our health system in addition to the expected burden that's going to come already from an aging population. Environmentally, if we use more cars, individual cars, essentially you have got more discharges. You are using a resource that is finite in terms of essentially most of our vehicles still being driven by petrol. So the consequences for New Zealand are significant. And I think what the report is saying is that here are two issues. We've known about them for a long time. We have known that there have been declining levels, particularly of use of active transport. And it's time to develop some centrally driven policies that put in place some targets, which would mean that we would have to develop some policies and strategies to try and achieve those targets.
So, as you said, in the report, the authors call upon national and local governments to set targets for the proportion of trips made on foot by bicycle and public transport. What kind of targets are they calling upon, and how can we ensure that suggested targets are met, both on a personal and a governance level?
Well, essentially, in terms of what they are advocating, they want the target for 2050, and that's quite a long way out, is that instead of car journeys making up 83% of trips, that would be reduced to 45%, that walking would rise from 12 to 25% and cycling from 1 to 15%, and that public transport trips would increase from 3% to 15%. Now, that doesn't necessarily look significant, but I think that actually there's a lot of work would need to go in and a lot of investment to try and achieve those things. But I think one of the things the report is perhaps a little light on is actually how would you do that? So, for instance, how would you get people to do more walking, more cycling? And I think to actually create a strategy to achieve those targets, then you need to know why people are not doing those activities at the moment. Why don't people walk to work? Why don't people cycle to work?
Certainly. As you mentioned, one of the specific targets is doubling the proportion of cycling trips in each of the next decades, which has the ultimate goal of 15% of all trips being on bikes by 2050. You come from a planning background. I'm not sure which part of planning you come from, but...
Essentially, I've been around long enough. I've probably touched on most things at some time or another. Yeah, in terms of cycling, I think, and walking, I think you've got to come back to why do people not do that? And I think with cycling, it's an issue with safety. If you have very busy roads, which are probably not really coping with the motorised transport they've got, that people don't feel safe on them, even if there's a cycle lane. I mean, I think you would be a very brave person to cycle on a lot of the very congested roads in Auckland, but also in Wellington and other places. So there's the safety issue. But then, look, it's a two-part system. If you reduce the number of car journeys, then you make the roads more inviting and safer for cyclists to use. But I think the one drawback in terms of promoting walking and cycling is there are two things. One, we are essentially time poor. And to do those trips by walking or cycling, you are going to have the time to do that. And I don't think that that's something that local or central government could change, because it's about our work environment. And secondly, what hasn't been factored in here, I think, is the weather. That is actually one of the things that really does put people off active transport. It's, for instance, in our winter, it's very wet and windy. They're not pleasant situations to walk and cycle in. And there's not a lot anybody's going to be able to do about that. But look, in terms of public transport, you can do things like improve where you wait for your public transport, make sure public transport runs to the timetable and it's efficient in getting you from A to B, all of those sorts of things. And I think maybe something can be done there, but it's not clear to me where the money's going to come from to do all of these things.
Certainly. Another thing on that as well is, I may be wrong in what I'm insinuating here, but often with these kinds of reports and when we set these goals, we kind of have a more urban or city environment in mind. Is there a difference between the rates of active transport in rural areas? Because there are a lot of rural areas in Aotearoa where perhaps the commutes may be longer and may facilitate more of a need for cars.
Yeah, I think it really depends. If you're talking in provincial areas where you have smaller towns, then the options for cycling and walking are probably greater because the distances are shorter between where you live and where you work. But if you're living outside a settlement, so if you're living in a rural residential or a rural situation, it's very likely you will have no other option but private transport. And I think we have to be realistic that sometimes we compare what we might want to do in New Zealand with what's being done overseas. But the reality is that you're talking about what's being done in a large metropolitan centre with a much denser development, which all helps public transport and walking and all of those things, because sometimes things are much closer together just because of the density. So I think that's one of the things you've got to be very careful with, is taking overseas experiences and just saying, oh, well, we could do the same here in New Zealand. Well, no, we couldn't. It's a different environment. It's a different context politically and in just in terms of legislation. So you need to be able to see what you can adapt from an overseas model and perhaps use in a New Zealand situation. And I think that's really what this report's a little bit light on. There's not much in there about how you're going to make this happen. You know, setting targets is really easy. I've seen targets being set over many decades. Achieving them is more difficult.
Most definitely. I've got two shortish questions to finish up on. So the average time New Zealanders walk for transport has dropped from 10 minutes to 8 minutes per day. This may seem like a rather small change for the listeners, and it is, it's 2 minutes. But what kind of effect does this drop have?
It probably, to some extent, may reflect the fact that some of our larger centres are becoming more dense. So, as I say, the distance between walking and where you live and work has got lesser. But look, in a time poor situation, a couple of minutes a day may mean something in terms of your ability to get in early and make yourself a cup of coffee before you settle down to work. Now, they're all small changes, but in a person's everyday life, they can be quite important.
Nationally, the only mode of transport that has increased its proportionate share between 1988 and 2014 was car usage. What has spurred Aotearoa's ongoing love for the car?
Well, I think in terms of the change from 1988 to 2014, to some extent that reflects the change in the New Zealand economy, where we moved from being a very closed economy to being a very open economy. And you allowed the importation of a whole lot of used cars from Japan. And suddenly, the price of vehicles actually dropped. So more people were actually able to afford to buy a car. And at that point, once you've bought it, then people are much more likely to use it in terms of their daily life. So I think that's one of the significant explanations for that. And it probably also represents a period, particularly before 2000, where there was very poor investment in public transport. So public transport essentially wasn't maintained, and so people decided, well, it was, you know, decrepit old buses, they didn't keep to the timetable, and I've got my car in the garage, which I can now afford, therefore I shall drive to work. So I think those are the sorts of things that probably are the main things that powered that change, is just the greater availability of cars for a greater proportion of the population.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihei Modi Order.